Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a long reading. But did you follow the basic story? I'll give you the quick synopsis. So Naomi, the book really might as well be called Naomi. We call it Ruth, and that's fine. No offense, Ruth. But really, especially this beginning portion of the story, is about Naomi. And she and her husband set off from Bethlehem to Moab because of famine. She and her husband and their two sons and their two daughter-in-laws. And if you didn't pick it up, her husband dies. And then about 10 years later, her sons die. And so she says to her daughters-in-law, "Abandon me. Go save yourself. It's over for me. There is still hope for you." And one of the daughters-in-law, Orpah, says, "Okay." That's not true. That's selling her short. First she says, "No, I will not leave you." And then she says, "No, really go." And then Orpah says, "Okay." And she leaves. But Ruth, the other daughter-in-law, says, "No, I will stay with you." In fact, she says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God." Those are the words that she says to Naomi. I've actually heard those used several times at weddings. Contextually, it's a little bit funny because, I mean, they aren't words of romance by any means. But they are words of love. They are words of love between this mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, as she says, the younger says to the elder, "I will stay with you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." These are words of promise and commitment, which frankly I think is why they get used sometimes at weddings. We are in this together. I am here for the long haul. My relationship with you was not just about my relationship with your son. Yes, he is gone. But the connection that you and I have remains, and I will stay with you. You are family to me. I love you, and I will stay with you. Ruth is loyal. She is loyal above and beyond the call of duty. Logically, and especially in this time and place, she has no reason to stay. Under the culture of the time, she has no obligation to stay. There's no future, no clear future with Naomi. As Naomi herself says, "Look, my time has passed. I can't offer you another husband. I'm too old to get one myself. Abandon me. Fend for yourself." There's no clear plan here. There's no clear hope here. There's no future here. Without men to protect them, these two women are going to be vulnerable. There's a famine going on. That's why they left in the first place. They have no heirs, no one to take care of them as they get older. They have no one to protect them from rival tribes or people or anything like that. And in that cold, calculating kind of logic, if you look at life that way, what Orpah did made sense. Orpah being the daughter-in-law who left, what she did made sense logically. She saved herself. She took a clearer path towards the future. She saved herself and her own potential lineage, her own descendants, her own possibility of having children. But Ruth was loyal. Ruth was stubborn. She was loyal, but she was stubborn. Let's be honest. There's an element of stubbornness in loyalty. She was stubborn. I'm not leaving you. I committed myself to your son. That commitment extends to you. You are family to me now. You are kin. And I'm not abandoning you. No matter what happens. For some of you in this room, we have talked over the last few years, we have talked before about this place, about Bethel Lutheran Church, about this place as a house of God, as a ministry site. We've talked about the ministry and the history of this place. And there have been, like there would be in any place that's been around for a while, there have been ups and there have been downs. There have been good times and there have been bad times. And there's been a past and a present and a future. And there have been moments over the years, where abandoned ship, as it were, in a cold, calculating kind of way, made sense for some people. There have been moments where that has happened. And yet this place remains vital. It remains full of the Spirit of God. It's changed. It's morphed over the years. It's shifted. But there is still ministry here. There is still vital and active ministry here. It's still going on. I mentioned earlier that I visited Dick Skansen this past week. I don't know if I mentioned that part. I told you Dick was in the hospital and now he's at this rehab place. But went in and saw Dick, and you can't talk to Dick for very long without Bethel coming up. I don't know if you've ever tried. It's actually impossible. Which is actually quite endearing. And those of you who know Dick know how much he loves this place. And how much he loves the people of this place. But it isn't just the physical form of this place or the people. It is the ministry that happens here. But that's one of the things we talked about too. Now, Dick's been here for a few years. I know not as long as some, but longer than some others. But as we talked about how things have changed, but just the sense of life that is still present here. The sense of connection to the community. And this is still a place where God's love through Jesus Christ is made known to people. It's still preached, it's still taught. Where care for the neighborhood is still acted upon. Where the Spirit of God is still alive. I've told you this before, but we have been blessed and gifted with a beautiful place. Turn around for a moment. Look at the pretty window. Please. I'll say please. It's beautiful. There's so much beauty in this place. Not just this room, but in the general area, in the plants outside, in the people in and out, the diversity of the neighborhood of which we are a part, the diversity of the groups that operate, minister out of here. As we walk out of this room after worship, we'll run into the Reborn Church, the Korean congregation. One of the Ethiopian congregations is worshiping or about to just downstairs. Another one gets ready to start in the chapel later, our Latino brothers and sisters this afternoon. I've told you about all of the different groups that meet and operate out of this place. There's so much diversity and so much beauty in that. And yet it's not just about that physical place. It's about the ministry. It's about that mission from God, that calling from God to be God's people in this time, in this place, and in this community. Any reader of the book of Ruth, and you are about to be readers of the book of Ruth for the next 3 weeks, whether you like it or not, That's not true. You could just not come for 3 weeks, and then you wouldn't have to hear any of it. Please don't do that. I like seeing you. But any reader of the book of Ruth should have known what was coming right at the start if they knew Hebrew, which this was written in. Because you have a man named Elimelech, my Hebrew is awful, whose name literally means my God is king, who abandons the city of Bethlehem, which means the city of bread, in a famine. Probably a bad idea to leave the city of bread during a famine. He dies, his two sons die. Do you know his sons' names? It means sickly and frail. The two boys who died, their names mean sickly and frail. Anyone reading this in Hebrew had to know something was probably coming. Naomi, whose name means pleasant, changes her name to Mara, which means bitter. The daughter who leaves, darkness, and the daughter-in-law who stays, pity. Within these first few verses, any reader of this in Hebrew can kind of see where things are going to go. A similar argument could be made for this place. Because as I have told you and reminded you several times over, what does Bethel mean? House of God. Bethel, house of God. The story of this place is revealed in its name. It is ongoing. This is a place for God's people to come and to connect to God, to each other. Even if at times, and let's be honest with ourselves, just like with Ruth, it seems a little crazy to do so. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you so many thanks for the opportunities that you have given us to be your children. We give you thanks for the ways in which we are able to connect and partner with the other ministries of this place. We give you thanks for hope and for life. We ask you to continue to bless us and this place and all that is done here, to help us to find ways to connect to you and to each other, and to look to you as a source of life and love. We pray all of this trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.